This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Karen McGee is standing by for the Central Regional Report. Karen is an AMI content development specialist in beautiful Morrisburg, Ontario. Hello, Karen.
Beautiful rainy Morrisburg, Ontario today, Dave.
Oh, well, even when it's rainy on the river, it's still a beautiful day. Hey, Karen,
Very lucky. Before
we jump into our first story, I do want to put a little bit of a preface on this story because it probably raises a couple of ethical concerns and controversial in its nature, depending on how you look at it. But a girl with autism in Barrie was recently part of a brain stimulation test to prevent self-harm. So what are the details of this story and what are they aiming for in this trial?
So yeah, anytime you use electricity in the brain, it can cause some images that maybe aren't pleasant. But in this case, Ellie is one of the 50% of children with autism who self-harm. So the goal of the trial is to stop her from hurting herself. And it's a pretty severe case. Doctors think it's how some children show frustration, especially those like Ellie who aren't verbal. She repeatedly hits herself. She's tried to swallow her fist, shove fingers up her nose to trigger bleeding, vomiting, spitting. She's broken bones in her cheek. She's knocked her tooth out. It's really affecting the quality of life of her and her family. And doctors thought because of the severity of this, she would be the ideal candidate for this surgery to help try and suppress the urge to self-harm.
So, Karen, tell me a little bit more about this particular kind of brain stimulation.
So it's a surgical procedure. A small electrical current is used to override the circuits that the doctors think aren't working properly. She had the surgery in December 22. The two small holes were drilled at the top of Ellie's skull, and two electrodes were planted that went into the depth of her brain. They're then connected to wires under her skin of her neck to a round silver battery implanted in the upper right side of her chest, kind of like I just totally blanked on the word for pacemaker. So they're like a little bump in her chest. They can remotely control the amount of electricity that's going into her brain and adjust it as necessary. And we got to remember, she was the first person in the world to have this surgery. So it did come obviously with some risks.
And how is she doing after going through this trial?
Well, the results were immediate in Ellie's case. Her parents have called it life-changing. Before the surgery, they estimated they were spending between 8 and 10 hours a day holding her down to try and stop her from hurting herself. Since the device has been implanted and turned on, they've not had to sedate her. The only challenge she's having is with the battery life. It's supposed to last for 2 years, but in her case, it only seems to be lasting for 6 months. Her parents are overall happy with the results. She's high-fiving, she's smiling, she's engaging, things she was never doing before. Her parents are really happy with how life-changing this was for them, but as with anything like this, your mileage may vary. And this is like she was the first one to have it, and it's been successful. Doesn't mean it's going to be successful for everybody.
Right, absolutely. It's definitely still in the trial phase for sure. Hey, Karen, the next story you've got here, for anybody who lives in Ottawa and is at all connected with the disability community, they know Ryan Lithall. The guy ran for mayor a couple of years ago. He is someone who lives with nemaline myopathy. So, Ryan, tell us a bit more about Ryan.
So this was a great article. If anybody has a time who's not in Ottawa and doesn't know about Ryan, the Ottawa Citizen had this great like full page article on him. It was really fascinating. He's very funny. He's actually does stand-up comedy on the side, but he's been on a ventilator since he was 6 months old. So his speech is very halted. And when I say halted, it's much like Christopher Reeve after his accident. He speaks in like 2 second increments. He lived at CHEO until he was 19, surrounded mostly by children younger than his. CHEO was the children's hospital in Ottawa. He only left the hospital to go to high school or to visit his family. When the time came for him to leave the hospital for good, he was given 2 choices, nursing home or group home, neither of which appealed to a 19-year-old. I mean, at 19-year-old, that's not really choices. So he and his mother, and I remember when this story was going on, worked really hard to lobby to get more than $170,000 a year funding that would allow him to live independently with 24-hour care. In 1994, he became the first person to live independently on a ventilator. He went to Algonquin College, where he got a job at the pub. Dave, I know you and I have both frequented that pub quite often.
I spent some time there.
He used a tray in his wheelchair to collect glasses. He got out a lot. He enjoyed getting out. But he was finding the nightclub scene in Ottawa very discouraging, very much lacking accessibility. He's worked really hard to increase awareness of that. He's eventually found a passion for writing, and he says that gives him his voice. Whereas some people sometimes struggle to hear him because of the way he talks, writing people can really hear his words. And he now writes for both Ottawa Life magazine and Centretown magazine. Again, do a Google search for some of these articles. The ones he did during the trucker rally were amazing because they really talked about how the effect of that was affecting people who lived in Centretown, who, you know, needed to get supplies, needed to get attendance to them. They're really, really, really well-written and really interesting articles.
Yeah, it was very, very real and raw what he was sharing with his experience there. And he's very, very active on social media, particularly Facebook, always posting about his adventures. He's a super cool guy. Ryan's a really nice guy. I got a lot of time for Ryan. But Karen, tell us a bit more about the column that he writes for those two newspapers and how he's using it to raise, advocate for advocacy and awareness.
So he writes to basically educate people on disability issues such as housing, accessibility, and income. And he does admit he writes from it from his point of view, but he tries to include other persons with disabilities. According to the Ottawa Citizen, he's used it to take the NCC, the National Capital Commission, to task. And who doesn't like to take them to task for failing to offer porta potties that can accommodate powered wheelchairs? He'd worked with Blues Fest, which is the big music festival in Ottawa that's coming up, to increase accessibility in them. And he basically turned it around and had to blast Blues Fest because they moved their wheelchair platform away from the main stage and into the face of the setting sun, which, like, how does that help anybody?
Not great.
No. He gives detailed breakdowns all the times of barriers that people in wheelchairs are facing when traveling in Centretown, which is kind of the hub of Ottawa. According to the analytics, his column is really well read from across the country. I encourage anybody to look up Ottawa Magazine. Take a look at some of the articles. They're excellent. I talked earlier about the readership spiked during the truckers' protests when he wrote the article that made news across the country about how difficult that occupation made it for persons with disabilities. But I've met him once or twice, too. He's wonderful. I'm just happy to see him get some of this recognition in the Ottawa Citizen, and so I wanted to bring that out. Make sure people across the country sort of knew about it, because he's a very, very interesting author.
Yeah, very thoughtful, very interesting, and very funny. So definitely check out Ryan's work if you get the opportunity to. Hey, Karen, thank you for this. Have a great day.
As always, Dave, good to see you, my friend.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.